Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Today we pick up a new series study, Psalms 8. If you're not there in your Bibles, turn over there to Psalms 8. And I want to revisit verses 3 and 4. We'll read a little bit further along. Let me give you this quick testimony. Friday, went to the doctor for a follow-up from my shoulder surgery that was like 12 days ago. Said I did not have to wear the sling, that I'm ready to wean off and start getting my range of motion back. Hey, I can't get this hand up real high yet, but hey, I can get this one up. And it's going to get there in Jesus' name, but I'm so excited to be out of that sling. Come on, somebody. So we read before the prayer in Psalms 8. I want to go back and look at it in verse number 3. Where David in this psalm by God's Spirit says, when I consider thy heavens, think about a sunrise, a sunset, the beauty of a cloud formation, moon, stars at night, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained. When I look at your creation, God, when I feel the wind blow, when I see the glory of your creation, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Did you know that the Lord has us on his mind? It overwhelmed David at this point. He said, what is man? Who am I that you would have me on your mind when I look at how big you are and how majestic you are, the God of the universe, the creator of all things? When I look at these things, I'm reminded, wow, you've got me on your mind. Church, it's so important for you and I to have points of reference in our lives. And a point of reference can be when we see the glory of God's creation and be reminded of how majestic and how powerful he is, and to know that the God of the universe has me on his mind. Psalms 10, though, if you would turn over there, Psalms 10, it gives a different picture. It casts a different view. So let's look on the one hand, David saying, I can't see a starry night and not think about you. I can't see the moon and not think about you. The other night was a full moon. I was looking out our living room at night, and I'm looking at the trees and the moon and where it was set, and I was like, God, you are amazing. And just to see a sunset that arrests your attention and to see the Lord in that, I thank God that I have the capacity to give him the praise for something that he did. And I wouldn't want to imagine my life that I could look at something created and not honor the one that created it, that I could look at something that was done and not look at the one that did it. Come on, somebody. I mean, I give God the praise for that. But our society, unfortunately, is not at a place where, as a whole, I feel like people have God in their thought. And there may be things in your life that you look at and you're reminded of the goodness of God and you're reminded of the salvation of God in your life. This thing becomes a point of reference to you. It reminds you of what the Lord has done in your life. We all might have different points of references, but David here is saying, I can't even look at your creation and not be reminded of you and to think of, wow, this big God of the universe has me on his mind. But watch what Psalms 10, verse 4 says in contrast. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Look at this last statement. God is not in all his thoughts. Underline that statement in your Bibles. God is not in all his thoughts. Shreveport Bossier, read that part out loud. God is not in all his thoughts. Have you ever been in a place in life when God was not in your thought? Hey, that's been me. Before I knew Jesus as my Savior, God was not in all my thoughts. And most of the time, if I did right, it was my daddy that was in my thoughts, my mama that was in my thoughts. So I thank God for my mother and my father and my grandmother and some honor of authority being in my thought. But before Jesus, I can't say that I would look at anything and have God in my thought. And so the Bible says that the wicked does not have God in his thoughts. So I can either be like Psalms 8 and look at what God has done and say, who am I in light of who you are? Or I can live my life without him at all in my thought. Church, I choose the first over the other any day of the week. I need the Lord in my thoughts. I need a moral and spiritual compass in my life to guide me and to lead me lest I go the wrong way. I need that point of reference in my life. We all do. I don't think any of us really want to live in a godless society. Now, with this in mind, I want you to come over with me to the New Covenant. I want to go to Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. God makes it a habit in his word of giving us points of reference that lead us to him, that lead us to the right path he has called us to. And over the next couple of weeks, this won't be a lengthy series, Lord willing, but over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about the point of reference and how God uses points of reference in our life to keep us on the right path, and the importance of having vision. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you up front, since LSU don't play till tonight anyway, I'm gonna tell you up front. That we're gonna be challenged. We're gonna be challenged in that, you know what? I might have been thinking too little. I need a bigger point of reference. I think God's plans for my life are bigger than the ones that I had for myself. We're going to stop letting people be our point of reference. We're going to stop letting our past be our point of reference. And we're going to get fresh vision from the Lord and allow his word and his spirit to be our point of reference. And I believe with everything in me, God's going to take us to another level in Jesus' name once we get our eyes set on something that is in line with his will and his kingdom. And that's the example we're getting ready to look at in the Gospel of Luke in the 9th chapter, is that Jesus' face was set on something. He had focus. He had vision. He had an assignment. And that's what motivated him. That became the why behind his what. That became the fuel in his tank. That became the engine in his car. I want to look at it in Luke 9. This will become a foundational part of this series. Got to get our eyes off people and stop letting others be our point of reference. The Lord's called you to start a business and you have a vision for it and you feel like you have a game plan and a structure for it. You can't let somebody tell you why you can't do that because their cousin tried that and it didn't work. You got to tell folk, I'm not your cousin. I don't know how your cousin did this. And just because somebody else failed at it doesn't mean I will. I have to know what the Lord has called me to do and know that his thoughts for me are peace and not evil. That for me, he has an expected end, according to Jeremiah 29:11. I'm not just here in this earth as an occupant. No, the Lord has put me in this earth to fulfill a purpose. I'm here on an assignment. I just need to know what that assignment is. I need to know what my purpose is. And I'm telling you, once you can get focused and once you begin to recognize what is your point of reference, everything begins to change. Why? Because of this. Where there is no vision, people perish. Put that verse in your notes. It's Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Let me read this verse real quick while you got your Bibles open. Luke 9:51, and then I'm going to come back to that quote. Watch this in Luke 9, verse number 51. If you're there, just say amen. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Underline that last statement in that verse. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus knew where he was going, and he knew it was time to go there. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Jesus has his objective in sight. He knows where he's going, and he knows it's time to go there. Now, you might as well go ahead and put a bookmark in Luke 9 because we're going to probably be here for a couple of weeks because there's a lot we're going to pull out of this chapter. Jump down to verse 62 and you'll see what I'm talking about. Last verse in that chapter. You'll see how verse 51 fits what Jesus tells us in verse 62. So let's read verse 62 out loud, Shreveport. Bossier, ready? Read. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, if you've got your hands to the plow and you're getting ready to fulfill the objective and the assignment and the work that's been set in front of you, if you are looking back, you're not fit for what you've been called to do. Why? Because you cannot make your history your point of reference. God has called us to be moved by vision and what's in front of us, not by what is behind us. I need an objective. I need a goalpost. I need an assignment. I need a point of reference. Imagine being in a ship at sea and it's dark and you're in a storm, but you see the lighthouse. You see the lighthouse, and that boat may be going this way and that way, but you know as long as I'm headed toward that lighthouse, I will find the land. I'll be home and I will be safe. Once I get to that place that I can see, it's fixed, it's established. That's the direction I'm heading. Without having that type of point of reference in your life, without having that kind of vision, there's no discipline. Vision produces discipline. Can you say that out loud? Vision produces discipline. You show me a person that has great discipline, I'll show a person that has great vision. Show me a person that has no discipline, and I'll show you a person that has no vision. Even in your own life right now, if there is a place that you want to go, physically, mentally, academically, spiritually, financially, if there's this place you want to go to, then you've got to get a clear vision of where it is you are going. And with that vision in mind, then you have the discipline to get there. Vision produces discipline. Say it out loud again. Vision produces discipline. Could we be lacking discipline because we have no vision? And if you don't see it for yourself, nobody else is going to see it for you except maybe your mama. But she can't make you discipline your life. You have to see it. And so I know we're in Luke 9:51. I'm going to read that again, but I want to give you this cross reference, and it's Proverbs 29:18. And it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that word perish means to cast off restraint. To cast off restraint. To unbuckle the seatbelt. When there's no vision, I'm not restrained. When there's no vision, I'm not disciplined. When there's no vision, I'm not consistent. When there's no vision, I'm not patient. Why? I don't have something to keep me on course. I need something to keep me on course. Else I'm all over the place. You gotta know what type of spouse you're gonna marry one day. You have to have an idea of what kind of family that God's called you to raise. And if you're born again, then you know what that should look like because the Bible describes it. And if you know what that looks like and you are single, then why would you date somebody that doesn't know Jesus? Why would you date someone who doesn't share your conviction? You're talking about how good they look. That's gonna get old quick. So you're wasting your time in all these relationships that are just based on the stimulation of your flesh. I'm talking to somebody. Because all that is wasting your time, and it's getting you caught up in all this senseless drama, and you're bringing all this, you know, toxic emotion into your life that has nothing to do with your destiny. You're wasting time because you don't have a vision. When I got a vision, then I know what belongs in my life and I know what doesn't. Now, I'm not going to necessarily tell you that. I'm just not going to give you my number. Appreciate you. Oh, yeah. Talking to somebody. We're in and out of jobs, in and out of churches, in and out of relationships. Why? No focus. No point of reference. Let me define real quick what the point of reference is. Here's the definition according to the Britannica Dictionary of what the point of reference is. Here's the definition. Something that is used to judge or understand something else. Something that is used to judge or understand something else. Another definition is it's an indicator, listen to this, it's an indicator that orients you generally. What does it mean to be oriented? Well, it means that I'm aligned or I'm positioned. It is to align or position something relative to the points of a compass or other specific positions. Another definition says to cause to face, to be oriented, to cause to face or point toward the east specifically. So when I'm oriented, I know where I'm going. My face is on where I'm going. My attention is on where I'm going. I know why I woke up this morning. I know why I need to rest well tonight. I know my objective. My face is set. Here, the Bible says Jesus' face was set on Jerusalem. What does that mean? He was oriented. He knew where he was going. What's disoriented? Don't know what I'm doing. Parents, you might relate to this. With our kids growing up, this was common when we would make road trips. Hearing one of them in the back, "Mama, I don't feel so good. Mama, I think I'm about to throw up." I'm like, find a bag of chips. You know what I'm saying to you? Because we ain't stopping this car. I got to get there in 4 hours and 32 minutes so I can beat last year's time. That's what men do. And why is our child in the back seat nauseous? Because they've been looking at an iPad, reading a book, looking at a phone. And when you look down long enough and you're going around curves and you're going up a hill and you're going down a hill, and see, I'm already getting disoriented right now. I can't even say the word disorder. I'm just like, I'm about to fall over. See, you don't have a point of reference. And so I can hear Chrissy right now saying, "Baby, just look out the front glass and stare at the road. Look at where we're going. Look at where we're going. Get your equilibrium back right. You got disoriented by looking down. You didn't see your body, didn't understand the motion, not being able to see the direction." God's called our bodies to respond to our sight and to our focus. And we've got to know where it is that we're going. Otherwise, we get disoriented. But how many people are emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially disoriented? You went in the store to get one thing. You left with all other stuff and didn't even get the one thing you went for. Disoriented. "Ooh, that looks good. Believe I receive. Oh, I need that." Got in the car, got home, said, "You know what? I forgot to get what I went there for." Disoriented in conversations. Can't even stay on point. Can't even stay on topic. All over the place. "How's your mama doing?" "Oh, she's doing good. Ain't the weather crazy?" I mean, we can't stay focused. We can't get anywhere. Disoriented. Jesus was never disoriented. Hey! At the age of 12, sitting in the temple, Mary and Joseph, who had lost him for 2 days, came in there and he said, "Wished you not that I must be about my Father's business?" At the age of 12, Jesus knew why he came. "I came to do my Father's business. That's why you're not gonna find me anywhere else but here. I came to do my Father's business." He was never disoriented. He was never distracted. He never got off his point of reference. But we do. I said we do. We get easily distracted. But watch the example set here in verse 51. His face was set to go to Jerusalem. Verse 52. "And sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him." Read it with me. "Because his face was though he would go to Jerusalem." See, even his countenance reflected where his mind was, where his attention was, and the direction of his energy. How many of us are so laser focused on the purpose of our lives that it is seen in our very countenance? It was seen in Jesus that he was determined to go to Jerusalem. In verse 51, it says this, it came to pass when the time was come. When the time was come, not only was Jesus going to Jerusalem, he knew it was time to go to Jerusalem. He knew it was time for him to die for our sins. He knew this is the time because they had already tried to kill him earlier. In Luke chapter 4, when Jesus announced that he was the Messiah, that he was the Christ, the Savior of the world, they led him to the edge of a cliff in the city, and they went to throw him off head first. They were ready to kill him right then. But the Bible says he turned and walked right through the midst of them, and nobody touched him. Why? It wasn't time. Jesus knew not only what his assignment was, he knew the timing of the fulfillment of his assignment, and this was the time. This was the time. This was the reason for which he was born. And he's got his face set. I am going to Jerusalem. Now, if you think that this doesn't apply to you and me, I challenge you to go back and look at verse 62. Because what Jesus is saying in verse 62 is a reflection of what he was doing when he said it. When he says, no man having put his hands to the plow and looking back. And looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Listen, your point of reference must be for where you are going, not where you have been. I gotta say that again. Your point of reference must be to where you are going, not to where you have been. Your history does not have to define your destiny. Yet so many people let where they have been define where they are going. But I want you to know you are bigger than your past. You're even bigger than your present. And God's plans for you are bigger than both past and present. And we're going to deal with that later in this series. I think about how Joseph was given a vision and an assignment by God in a dream. And Joseph shares that vision with his brothers. And they didn't like the audacity of the plan that God had for Joseph. So they took him down and were going to kill him until they sold him into slavery and told his daddy that he was dead. But even though he was thrown in that pit and from that pit thrown into a prison, it did not stop him from making it all the way to the palace where he would become the second highest ranked man in the land, only under Pharaoh. He went all the way to the top based on the vision that God had given him from the beginning. But here's the thing. After he finally reached that place God had for him that looked nothing like his past, that looked nothing like that prison, that looked nothing like that pit, this is what Joseph said when he had his firstborn child. His firstborn child comes into the world and he says, let's name him Manasseh. Let's name him Manasseh. And the word Manasseh means forget. And he said, for the Lord has made me forget all my toil. What was he saying? I would not have made it this far if I would have kept looking back. I would not have gotten here had I kept looking back. When you put your hands to the plow of God's kingdom, don't look back. Your lines get crooked. You walk like you're drunk when you look back and try to move forward at the same time. I'm unstable. Oh, hallelujah. I love what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:13. He said, listen, folk. Well, he didn't say it like that. He said, brethren. I'm saying, listen, folk. He said, I don't call myself as have apprehended, really gotten a hold of something. I don't call myself as have apprehended anything but one thing. So Paul said, there's only one thing I can say I really have finally learned in life. Hey, what was it, Paul? What have you learned in life that you're willing to say it's the only one thing I know with certainty? And this is what he said. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are before. Philippians 3:13. I'm forgetting what's in my past, and I am pressing to what's for before me. Why? My history does not define my destiny. And then what did he say next? This is what he said next in verse 14. He said, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark. Say that out loud. I press toward the mark. How can you press toward the mark if you don't have a mark? What happens when we have no mark? We're passive. We're always caught up in the peripheral. And now a lot of folk today in our society, all of us guilty at some point of getting caught up in the peripheral. What do I mean by that? God has designed our eyes to be able to look forward, to be able to get something in sight. And it doesn't mean I don't see what's to my left or to my right. It doesn't mean there's not other things in my scope of vision, but I can only focus on one thing at one time, one person at one time, one object at one time. It doesn't mean I can't see other stuff, but I can't really make but one thing my mark. In our society, the peripheral is always screaming for attention, and it's bringing about distraction so that I'm constantly over here and over there and back there. I'm all over the place except where I am headed, and it shows up in our life. There's a proverb that says, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest they be weary of thee and hate thee. What does that mean? You can't be showing up at your neighbor's house all the time. They're going to get tired of you. But I feel like through social media, we live in our neighbor's house all the time. We're obsessed with social media. All we do is scroll and scroll everybody else's life.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.